Good morning. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church and the Bible Teaching Hour. Thank you for joining us on this 28th day of March. I can't believe how quickly, not only this year, but especially this month, is just flying by. And so looking forward to opening up God's Word once again and learning on how, when we can't just get over it, what do we do? So you should have your notebook there in your Bible if you're having one of the books. We're going to lesson number three. So turn with me in your Bible to 1 Kings 19, and we're going to be looking at the life of Elijah, and the theme today is defeating discouragement. 1 Kings 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us today from your word to be able to defeat discouragement in our lives. We know that it's coming. It's inevitable, but we can be ready for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story of the devil. It's an illustration, a story of the devil having a giant toolbox. And in this giant toolbox are all the things that the devil would use, and he's selling off all of his tools. One particular tool that was the highest priced looked the worst. You know, normally when you're buying something, you definitely don't look for the worst looking one. You want to look for one that has at least a little bit of a good look to it, maybe. This particular story says that the tool that was the most expensive that was being sold looked the worst. And wouldn't you know it, but this was a wedge that you would use maybe for splitting wood or other things. And they asked, why is this priced so high? And the reason why the wedge was priced so high is because it was the one that was used most often, and it was the most effective in the devil's toolbox. You probably guessed it by now, but the wedge was called discouragement. Discouragement. It was something that the devil had used over and over and over again. The story says that the devil would say, if I can drive the wedge of discouragement between the believer and the Lord, I will win the victory every time. Isn't that the case? I'm sure right now, on this Sunday morning, I'm sure you have experienced discouragement. You might even be sitting right now and in the middle of discouragement. And the devil is using that in your life. The devil has used it in my life, and I'm sure the devil's going to try to use it in my life again. But how can we get over it? How can we defeat discouragement? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail in just a few moments. But the main character in our Bible lesson today is a man by the name of Elijah. And you might remember that Elijah was used in an amazing battle on the top of a mountain, Mount Carmel. There was one prophet of God and 850 prophets. I don't know how to do 850 in sign language. There were 850 prophets of Baal. And there was a battle that took place. Now, it wasn't a sword and shield battle. An altar was made, and the idea was, whose God is real? Whose God is actually legitimate? Whose God has power? And those prophets of Baal talked to Baal and asked him, oh, Baal, would you please send down fire and would you consume the altar? And they cut themselves, and all day long they wailed and danced and cut themselves. And how much fire came down? None. And then Elijah stands up and prays that absolutely amazing prayer. We see this in 1 Kings chapter 18. and the fire of God fell. It licked up the altar. It licked up the water. I think the Bible even says it licked up the dust. I mean, it was a victory with no question of whose God was real. Well, guess who found out about this victory? We read about her just a moment ago. Queen Jezebel found out about this victory. Let's just say that Queen Jezebel was not the least bit happy about it. And she was fired up, mad about it. And that's what we read just a moment ago, that Jezebel sends word to Elijah and basically says, I'm going to have you killed. Threatening him. I'm going to have you killed. When Elijah hears about it, you're at 1 Kings 19, look at verse 3. We didn't read it earlier, but look at verse 3. When he saw that, he arose, notice, and went for his life. This is the same Elijah that up until this point, God has been bringing him through an amazing journey. He's fed him by the brook Cherith. He's fed him by the widow. Now he's called down fire from heaven and amazing victory. And now he's on the run. Fear came into his life. Discouragement came into his life. And now he goes from the mountaintop of victory to the valley of discouragement, and so low that he says, I want to die. Amazing, isn't it? From the great victory to the great valley, just like that. Why? Discouragement. What does discourage mean? It means to lose courage. And he obviously lost his courage, didn't he? Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might, what's the next word? Die. Oh, I'd rather die. God, just kill me. Wow. And said, it is enough. I can't handle any more. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah went from the mountaintop of victory to the valley of discouragement. And by the way, this discouragement came out of nowhere. That's exactly how it happens in our life today. Let's take a look at our outline. Number one is the recipe for discouragement. The recipe for discouragement. The devil often wields his weapon of discouragement when we're most easily susceptible to it. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the devil and how he's waiting. Remember in the life of David in Psalm 71, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, and how that the devil is waiting to pounce. And that's exactly what he's doing in your life and my life today. And he will often use the wedge of discouragement. He's looking for just the right moment, just the right opportunity. And that's exactly what he did in Elijah's life. Letter A, what is the recipe for discouragement? Letter A, after great victory. After great victory is the blank. There was a backstory to Elijah's intense bout with discouragement. 3.5 years before Mount Carmel, he had told King Ahab the Lord was sending a drought. Now, I was talking about that earlier, 1 Kings chapter 17. Ahab blamed Elijah for the drought, and even at that point threatened to kill him as well. So he's got Ahab trying to kill him in 1 Kings 17. He's got Jezebel trying to kill him in 1 Kings 19. But in 1 Kings 18, Elijah goes to Ahab with the commandment of the Lord and says that God would send rain. And God did send the rain. Well, this is when the meeting takes place on Carmel, after Elijah meets with Ahab. And so, of course, God gives Elijah the victory. The fire comes down. 1 Kings 18:39, if you're there, with your Bible open, 1 Kings 18:39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And this is, I mean, can you imagine the adrenaline that would have been flowing through the veins of Elijah? A giant lightning bolt of fire comes down and just wipes out the whole altar. And then everybody there says, "We believe God is the one true God. We believe God is the one true God." I'm telling you, I don't think you could get any higher emotionally than at that moment. But we all know what happens, can happen, is the letdown. It's kind of like eating a bunch of sugar, right? What happens when we eat a bunch of sugar? Well, within a short period of time, we're kind of like, bing! And that sugar is just, you know, it's in our system, and we're running on sugar. But then there's always the what? There's the letdown. There's the drop-off. And usually when that happens, we're kind of this lethargic, you know, lump of clay, and there's the drop-off. And that's exactly what takes place in Elijah's life. Great victory! Well, be careful, because this is part of the recipe for discouragement. That doesn't mean we don't want to be victorious. It just means be ready, because not everything can be Mount Carmel all the time. So, letter A, after a great victory. Letter B, recipe for discouragement, during times of physical exhaustion. The blank there is, if you have the book, is exhaustion. During times of physical exhaustion. Let's just say that going through all of this, through the chapters 17 to chapter 19, has taken a toll on Elijah's physical body. He has to be exhausted. He lays down, he sleeps in the middle of his running, and we could say that Elijah was suffering from fatigue. From fatigue. And this is a recipe for discouragement. When our body is tired, when we're not taking care of our body properly. Look, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in our body, that means it is very important that we eat right, we get enough sleep, and I would say it's very important that we get some form of exercise. Walking, jogging, bike riding, you know, thumb wrestling? No, that's not much exercise, is it? That's about how much exercise some people get today with their thumbs on their cell phones. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about that, and this individual was saying it was a beautiful day, but their kids wanted to play computer games. I thought, oh my, you know what? I remember playing computer games, nothing like what you guys play today, Pac-Man, Dig Dug. I'm sure those have all registered with you. Yes, I remember that, but not when it was nice out. I mean, it was time to get outside. It was time to ride a bike, play basketball, so forth and so on. Rest, exercise, and a healthy diet are all tools God has put in your hand, in my hand, to help us to stay from being fatigued. And when we are fatigued, we are more susceptible to discouragement. In fact, when we're fatigued, we're also more susceptible to make bad choices. So it's very important that, like they did in the, Jesus said in Mark 6, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Mark 6:31. We need physical rest in order to continue. If you're a mom, you need to get your rest. If you're a dad, help your wife get her rest. But dad, you need rest too. Kids need rest. Plan, make time, don't ignore the signals of your body. Isn't it amazing how God has built us and created us that we even get signals from our body? Hey, you better rest. Don't ignore it. Don't push through. You're opening yourself up to a time of potential discouragement. Elijah is completely exhausted. Elijah is vulnerable to the attacks of Jezebel. Isn't it something that Jezebel didn't actually do anything to kill Elijah? Did you notice this in the story? She only said, "I'm going to have you killed." Maybe it was just a threat. Maybe it was just to scare him. There's no record in the Bible that Jezebel did anything else than besides this note that was sent to Elijah. 1 Kings 19:2 talks about it. We read that already. We won't read it again. And honestly, do you think about this for a minute? If Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah, do you really think she would have sent a note and said, you know what, I'm going to kill you? I don't think so. I think, it's just my thought, that this was just simply that. It was simply to scare him. It was simply, whether she realized it or not, it was simply to discourage him. Guess what? It worked. We must make sure when victory comes, when great victory comes, we're prepared. When great fatigue comes, we recognize it, we get the rest that we need. But then one other thought about this recipe for discouragement, and that is, letter C, during times of loneliness. Loneliness. Elijah flees alone. He's all by himself. Great victory. He's tired. He's alone. He left everyone that could have encouraged him. This is where I want to make this point with the Lord's help. When you're struggling, it is not the time to pull away from the church. When you're struggling, it is not the time to pull away from the Scripture. When you're struggling, it is not to pull away and isolate yourself. That is the worst thing you can do, whether you're struggling or not, but especially when you're going through a great difficulty, you need to be around God's people. You need to be in God's Word. I need to be around God's people. I need to be in God's Word. Don't buy into this thing that you can be Lone Star Christian. You're just going to back away from the church for a few months. No, that's the lie of the devil to get you and to get me all alone and pounce on us with even greater discouragement. No, we need to be around the things that God has created. The devil is waiting and pulling you away. And much like a lion pulling you away, and you're always an easier target when you're away. That one stray animal that gets away from the pack. Have you ever seen some of those nature programs online or maybe on the TV? That's exactly what it looks. You got this big herd of impalas or something, or whatever other creature, and the cheetahs or the whoever's that are there, they're trying to look for one that maybe is a little bit straggly, they're maybe a little bit weak, but also who's not with the pack, and they're separating, and they charge, and they see which one doesn't stay with the pack, and they pounce on them. When we seclude ourselves from others who can encourage or strengthen us, mark it down, you are setting yourself up for a time of discouragement. It doesn't have to be that way. That's one thing about this not gathering together like a church is supposed to. Again, I've tried to be very thankful, and I believe I have been, by God's grace, for what we can do. That's one thing about this last journey that I hope you that are watching online, especially from Anchor Baptist Church, that you haven't got comfortable sitting at home for church. That's one thing I do pray that hasn't happened in your life, and that you're never going to come back to church. You're just going to sit at home and watch church online. That is not how God designed the local church to function. One of the reasons why is so that we would come together so much the more as we see the day approaching, that we would exhort one another, Hebrews 10:25. So watch out for this time of alone. Then one more, letter D, from an inaccurate view of circumstances. We're talking about recipes for discouragement. Letter D, an inaccurate view of circumstances is the blank. Now, I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure you've been guilty of it too, and that is this, taking something and looking at it and blowing it completely out of proportion. We hear something and we immediately go to the absolute worst. Have you ever done that? I have. And that's not the way to live. We take something and we only know a little bit about whatever it is, and then we go all the way down to the end and we think, oh, that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what Elijah did. He magnified his trial so much that this guy who just saw this lightning bolt of fire come out of heaven says, I just want to die. Just take my life. Now, I'm not picking on old Elijah. I mean, I've been there, not necessarily quite like that, but I've been there before. But by the way, hey, let me just say, you and I are all susceptible to get to a place like Elijah where we just crawl under a tree and say, I'd rather be dead. Discouragement can go to that point. Be very careful. Again, we're trying to put out some warning things. Elijah had allowed discouragement to blind him so much so to the point that he couldn't even evaluate his situation accurately. He got one threat from Jezebel. He had already been threatened by Ahab. Nothing happened. Fought the prophets of Baal in a praying contest. Won that battle. Praise God. And so now he's inaccurately looked at this entire situation from Jezebel, and he's so discouraged that he's got an inaccurate view of it, and he just wants to die. You know what? He's dwelling on something he had no control over. He's dwelling on something that, how about this one, that may never happen. Oh my, raise your hand if you're guilty on that. Both hands. Stop thinking about something that may never happen. It's going to drive you to discouragement. We've got to have a pattern of biblical thinking. Where do we get this from? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, may we embolden that verse into our mind. So that's the recipe for discouragement, number one. Number two is the treatment for discouragement. The treatment. So I'm discouraged. What do I do? So I've got a scraped knee. What do I do? You know, I've got an open wound. What do I do? The treatment for discouragement. When you think about Elijah's bout with discouragement, we might come to this initial assessment that Jezebel was the problem. Well, I would beg to differ with you. Jezebel wasn't why Elijah struggled with discouragement. She brought in an atmosphere of it, but it's actually Elijah's fault. He allowed this threat to fester. He was mulling it over, as we say. And it started out as a little piece of sand like that's in the oyster, and it became a pearl. Well, this has become a pearl of discouragement in his life. Unfortunately, refusing to allow our circumstances to discourage us is easier said than done. We're going to need to follow some things, and I hope these will help you. Treatment for discouragement. Letter A, remain faithful. Remain faithful. The word is remain. After eating a second time, Elijah journeys 40 days, think of this, to Mount Horeb. Look in 1 Kings 19. You have your Bible there. This is an interesting thought that I really never meditated on more than just reading it. Look at 1 Kings 19:8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days. So he had one meal and he lasted for 40 days on that one meal. Amazing, quite frankly, for that part of it. But notice verse 9. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, this is interesting. What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, why are you here? You know what? Elijah wasn't supposed to be there. This isn't the place where Elijah was called. Elijah had left the work of the Lord, if you will. Elijah had left the ministry, if you will. He is the prophet of God. And he journeys 40 days away from where God wanted them to be. And God meets with him there in that cave and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, Elijah was not remaining faithful to the things that God had called him to do. This is what we must do when discouragement starts to come into our life. Don't turn tail and run away. Remember, I said that earlier. Run to him. No, God has saved us for his purpose. God has saved us to do good works. And when we go away from the plan of God in our life, it is sure to open us up to even more discouragement. So when discouragement comes, it's important that you and I remain faithful. Here's something to think about. Most discouraged people, not all, but many discouraged people, most discouraged people are discouraged because they're not where God wants them to be. There's a possibility that they're out of the will of God. Hey, that's going to bring discouragement. Get back to where God has you. Get back to living how God wants you to live and remain faithful. Letter B, recognize God's presence. Recognize is the word, God's presence. As Elijah stood at Mount Horeb, he saw an amazing sight. First, he saw a whirlwind. Okay? Then an earthquake. Then a raging, roaring fire was in front of Elijah. But God wasn't in any of those. As we read in the Bible, we learn that. God chose to reveal himself how? Do you remember? I think you probably do. Through a still, small voice. He had to learn that if there was no visible manifestation of God's presence, here's the thing, here it is, it was still there. I had someone ask me the other day, does God speak to you audibly? Do you hear God's voice audibly? I said, no, I never have. But I've heard God all the time. God speaks to me. And by the way, if you're a Christian, God speaks to you. And by the way, if you're lost, God's speaking to you. One message, repent and be saved. You're not saved today. You know what? You're going to be discouraged and have no way out of it. You can have a way out of it with Christ, though. Recognize God's presence. Sometimes all we can sense of him is that still, small voice. Let me encourage you, do not be weary. Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Stay faithful. Recognize God's presence. Number one, the recipe for discouragement. Number two, the treatment for discouragement. And then number three, claiming victory. This is what we need to do. Claiming victory over discouragement. Hard times come? Yes. Difficult times come? Yes. Will we want to give up? Yes. Will we want to quit? Yes. Will we want to die? Might even get that far. That doesn't solve anything. Satan is a liar. Stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to the wiles of the devil. Stop listening to the temptation of the devil. It's time that even when discouragement comes into our life to recognize we can overcome this. We can have victory over this. And by the way, it is not found in anything man-made. Discouragement is overcome only by God's way. It is all of God for overcoming discouragement and claiming the victory. Letter A is be honest. Be honest. Remember, God said to Elijah in verse number 9, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, what does Elijah do? Well, he begins listing the problems in Israel. All his countrymen had forsaken God, and he even felt like he was the only righteous man left. That's when he takes him and shows him the fire and the wind and all of that, and that's when he deals with him out there. Verse 10, even Elijah said, I only am left, and they that seek my life to take it away. Oh, I'm the only one. By the way, that's how the devil wants us to think. We're the only one, which isn't true. Elijah was so discouraged in the Lord's work that he was willing to let Israel fall to the devil. He was just going to go. But even though that's the case, he wasn't the only one. The Bible says there were 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Here's the bottom line. If we're not careful, we're going to be in our sense of discouragement, and we're going to be pointing at every situation as why I'm here and I'm discouraged. No, take your finger and turn it around and be honest. You are discouraged, and I am. If you're discouraged today and I'm discouraged today, it's because of the way we are viewing whatever it is that's come into our life. We've already covered that. We've got to be honest. Stop blaming someone else. You know the blame game. I've been there, and I'm guilty of it in my life. So are you. Where does the blame game get us? Absolutely nowhere. Be honest. After Elijah incorrectly evaluated his situation, God reminded Elijah, look, Elijah, it's not all about you. You see, that's the issue, that we think, oh, everything depends on me. No, it isn't all about you. It isn't all about me. Let's be honest. Let's recognize that discouragement has come into my life because I've allowed it to, and I don't want it to claim another day of victory in my life. I want to claim the victory. Don't quit. Move forward. That's the next one. Letter B. Press onward. Talking about overcoming it. Claiming victory. Press onward. Okay? This is one of the best solutions for discouragement. What is it? Focus on the purpose God has for your life. That's how we're fulfilled. How are you fulfilled? How are you fulfilled? I'll tell you how you're fulfilled. Living the will of God day by day. That's fulfillment, folks. You're not going to be fulfilled if you get a raise at work. You're not going to be fulfilled if you have a new car or a new house. Those are all temporal things. They don't bring fulfillment. You know what brings fulfillment? Walking in the ways of the Lord. Walking in the will of God. Elijah learned that true fulfillment in life comes from finding the will of God and doing it. Elijah finally broke free from his discouragement. Why? Because he continued to press forward. With the Lord's enabling, Elijah overcame. And by the way, you can too. You can too. You can overcome. You can move forward. You can get up out of your sea of despondency. You can get up out of the woe is me syndrome. You can advance by faith, honestly, pressing forward. Then letter C, choosing encouragement. Choosing encouragement. You see, discouragement is powerful. It's powerful. Oh, but encouragement. David, it was said of David, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. How did David encourage himself on the Lord? He reflected on the ways that God had helped him in the past. Well, right now, if you're in the middle of a time of discouragement, do you know what you need to do, dear Christian? You need to contemplate all that God has done for you in the past. You need to go back to that church setting. You need to go back to that house setting when you heard the gospel and you got saved. That'll encourage you to recognize anew and afresh that when you die, you will be absent from this body and present with the Lord. You didn't do that. God did that. You need to go back in time, in your mind, and remember how God brought somebody across your path that helped meet a financial need in your life, and how God brought something across your path to bring healing in your life. It was a treatment or something that God used. God brought the healing, but God used things to help you. You need to go back across that time in your life where you had no money and no food even, and it was just getting down to the bottom of the barrel, and God provided, and the cruse of oil never stopped flowing, as Elijah could go back and think about all these things that God had done over and over and time again. Look, dear Christian, every day you are breathing God's air. What a blessing. I don't get up in the morning and say, heart, start beating. It's already beating by the grace of God. Now, someday it will stop, and someday yours will stop. David encouraged himself in the things of the Lord because he thought about all that God had done for him. And Elijah the same. We will face difficult times. We will face discouragement. And the greatest tool of the devil is that wedge of discouragement that he's trying to put in your life and in my life today. It's time that we say no more. And we recognize it. We sense it. We might even say this. We feel it coming. I believe if we are walking circumspectly and we're paying attention spiritually, I truly believe we can recognize when discouragement is creeping up on us. And we can say, stop, I'm not going there. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to claim the victory. I'm going to remember what God has done for me. I'm saved, on my way to heaven. I have a family by the grace of God. I have a roof over my head. I have food in my belly. I have clothes on my back. I have a brothers and sisters in Christ. I have my parents are saved, and my grandparents, at least I know my grandmothers were both saved and in heaven. Most of my family is saved and on their way to heaven, not all. On and on it goes. I know each of you at Anchor Baptist Church. I count that a blessing to know you. Think about it. Yes, think about it. When you start to think about that, guess what happens? Discouragement? Adios. No more. Satan is a liar. He doesn't want you to get out of the vicious cycle of discouragement. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Discouragement could be the greatest foe that we ever face. Discouragement could be the greatest battle that we ever face. Elijah, wow, what a prophet. One defeated 850, but then in just a few days, he was laying under a juniper tree. So discouraged, so defeated, that he said, it's better that I die. Oh, dear friends, don't let Satan take you down that journey to a place where you even would consider doing something that you would deeply regret in taking your own life. No, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. We have all been created to bring honor and glory to God. We have all been created someday that we could spend eternity with God in heaven. That's only going to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. If you're listening this morning and you've never been saved, you need to repent of your sin and you need to turn to Jesus Christ right now for salvation. There's no way you can overcome discouragement, depression, or anything without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And yes, even as Christians, discouragement, depression can come into our life and it can come unannounced. It can come unexpectedly. We can be ready for it. I encourage you this morning, choose encouragement. Choose to remember the promises of God. Choose to remember His record. Choose to remember His way. His working in your life. He's there. Oh, it may not be with a lightning bolt of fire. Victory is just around the corner. Claim it by faith today. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word, and I pray, oh, dear God, I pray that we would stop right where we're at today if we're living in discouragement and say, enough is enough. I need to claim the victory that God has provided for me. We need You to help us, Lord, in this. There's no way we can overcome discouragement in our own strength. We recognize that. So we yield this completely to You, and we pray for all those that are listening that if we're struggling right now, that we would overcome by faith, claiming the victory You've already provided. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being a part of this Sunday School Hour. Again, if we can ever help you, if I can ever help you in any way, please reach out to me. But I'll tell you right now, this is a big one. This is a big one that I have to deal with more times than I care to even admit. But I'll tell you this, God is always there. Whether we get to the end and we say, I just can't, no, you can, because God's there with you. Trust Him in His Word. Looking forward to hearing the preaching in the next hour as well. And so we'll see you in just a few minutes. God bless you.